So I'm excited, guys. As you saw, we're in the series called Amped, and we're really talking about what it means to live a big life for God, because we believe He wants us to live a big life and not mediocre. He didn't die so we can just get by. He died so that we can thrive and really represent Him in the best way possible here on the earth today. But that means it's going to take some work for us to get in a position in order for that to take place in our life. And so I want to get right into it today, because I believe I have something to challenge you with. And hopefully you'll leave here today with something that you can really take home, digest in your spirit, and really take some steps in the next direction for where you feel like God is calling you to go in your life. Because whether you realize it or not, God is calling you to go somewhere. And it's not just heaven. God has something for you now. And so in the book of Habakkuk, as we read this in chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, it says, "Write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that it may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time." Everybody say appointed time. "But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Guys, put that other verse up there in the Message version also. This is a Message version. It says, "And then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness point to what is coming. It aches for the, it can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait, it's on its way. It will come right on time." And so the vision that God has given you, it's going to come, but it's not going to come when you want it to come. Just like in labor pains, there is a certain time when the baby is able to start into that labor process to when it fully is delivered, but there's a time for that. And we know what the normal time for that looks like. But in God's timetable, it is different than your timetable. So you can be praying for something and believing for something, but God sees the big picture as opposed to your narrow mind and your temporal view. God sees the whole thing. And so God is into timing, because timing is everything. Because if you get something too soon, you may not be able to handle it. But if you get something when you're ready, you'll be able to handle it. And so God is a good father, and He understands that and what that looks like for you. Because most of us, if we're honest in our life, that God has used us and actually given us things in our life that we have wanted, but we've either used it or abused it in a wrong way because we weren't mature enough to handle it. But God is good because He allows us to see it. But that process takes place in our life. And it's funny because the vision that God has wants to come. It's wanting to come. So if you look at the Message version, you know that it's not half-hearted. It's not, well, maybe I will come, or it's not, well, maybe God will give it to me. No, if God had placed a vision in your heart, it's going to come in the right time. It's not discouraging. It can be at times. It's not frustrated with itself. God has it set up for a certain time. And so for you in your life, what does that look like for you right now? Because, and honestly, understand it this way. Whether you realize it or not, the end is near. Think about your life right now. You've been believers for things in your life. You've been wanting God to do things in your life. And I believe God has placed things in your life for a certain time and a certain season. And I believe God wants you to know that the end of you carrying that thing is near. And so it's been a while. You've had to huff. You've had to puff. You've had to stand in it. You've had to believe for it. You've had to cry for it. But He said, the end is near, because that was all part of the birthing process. And He said, listen, you're about to carry that thing and you're going to deliver it. The end is near, but it's not quite there yet. Because most of us have microwaves in here, right? And so you've ever put something in the microwave and you set it for a minute and you've taken it out early, and it never tastes as good as it should taste, because you've taken it out early. And this happens sometimes, especially at our house, when we're like cooking oatmeal. And you know when you cook oatmeal, put water in it, and you throw it in the microwave, and you put it in for a minute. And in about 35 or 40 seconds, you know you can take it out because it's not too hot. But out too early, it's not ready. If you take it out too long or too late, when it gets down to the zero point, it is hard as a rock, and you really can't eat it. And so you end up throwing it away, and it can literally break the glass that it sits in because it's so hard. But God knows what that looks like, because if something comes too early, it doesn't taste as good, and you can't really understand and realize the full impact of it the way it's supposed to be, or if something comes too late, it's rotten. and you can't use it. And God is such a master at the way he does things that he'll sneak up on you, and the timing you might think is off, but God knows the timing is right. And so when you're ready to receive it, God will bring it in. And so you know what that looks like. And I'll give you a picture of what that looks like. If you sense that there is warfare heating up in your life, or there is pressure building in your life, or there are things that are happening and you can feel that stuff happen in your realm and it is heating up, you know that the end is near, because the enemy is fighting and things are happening because things are moving in the spirit realm and about to be manifested in the natural. And so if you went in here today, I will raise my hand. And if you are sensing that, you know that what God has promised you is about to come into fruition because it's heating up. And sometimes it doesn't look like anything's happening, but God is behind the scenes whooping up some stuff, ready to go. And God knows, and we talked about this last week, he knows when it's time to push. And he gets us into that position of where we need to start pushing and believing, because this is the time. So you can leave here today and know that if there is a sense that there are things in my life that are moving and changing that I don't quite understand, you know that God is getting ready to shift some things around and move some things in your life. Can I get an amen? And so that is the sign for you. And in the meanwhile, you have to learn to stick and move. And what that means is this. Sometimes you don't understand where it's coming from or how it's going to come. But in the meantime, you have to learn to remain in him and keep moving. The worst thing you can do in the time of transition or in the time of where you're trying to birth something to your life, or God is trying to do something in your life, is to pull away. Because it becomes that much harder for you. It's the reason why Jesus said, remain in me as I remain in you. Because without me, you can do nothing. Think about how you are during your trial or during your process, how difficult it is. Imagine how it would be without him. We had the privilege of going on a cruise last year. And I think it was, where we see the stingrays? Where was it? Grand Cayman. And you're on the Grand Cayman, and you go on, and if you've ever been on a cruise, you get off the cruise, you can book your excursions on shore, you can get off, that's neither here nor there, but you're off the ship, and all of a sudden, everybody wants you to book their excursion. They're, come to me, pretty lady, come to me, I got the deal. You know, the whole thing goes on, okay? So we had already booked our excursion, we were going to see the stingrays, okay? So we got out on the boat. And it's funny because everybody knows where the spots are. So you think you're getting a great deal and you're going. So you pull up and there's already boats there. And we're there and boats are coming all around us. And so the water is so clear. It is so blue. It is incredible. And all of a sudden you start seeing these stingrays that are just underneath the water. And guys, it is like out of a scene of a movie. There's like probably like 100 stingrays that are just moving toward you, in you, around you, around the ship, and they're all coming. They're coming from out in the sea into this way. And initially your thought is, I'm going to die. But you realize that there's a comfort in knowing that these people have done this before, that they're around you, that they know what they're doing. So we're all standing around. The ships are there, and it's just a beautiful scenery, and stingrays are going through your legs. They are going around you. They're going in front of you. The guys are diving into the water, catching the stingrays, pulling them out so you can hold them. And so we've got some pictures of us holding stingrays, me kissing a stingray, okay? And the stingray actually being comfortable and wanting you to actually pet it. And so this is what happens. You get to a certain point of where your comfort level begins to dissipate. Because he now says, hey, listen, we're now going to feed the stingrays. The problem is that you have to feed the stingray from underneath the water into that little hole they have there, and you can't see it. So he says, what I need you to do is take the food in your hand, and I need you to go underneath, and I need you to hold it, because he's going to suck it out of your hand. And I said, yeah. And so there are people that are out there doing, and, you know, whatever, they're going through their own anxiety things. But I'm sitting there like, I'm going to do this, right? So I know I had the thing in my hand, the food in my hand. I go under the water, guys, I kid you not. I'm like, I can't feel this hole. I don't know where it's at. And so instead of keeping my hole there, I started backing up like this. And the guy goes, sir, you are backing up. Okay, keep your hand there. I'm like, dude, you don't have no idea what's going on in my mind right now. I can't see my hand. I don't know what he's going to suck up. We got a problem. So in that process, I was standing good. I was doing good until I couldn't see. And so, needless to say, that food dropped out of my hand into the water. No worries. Fish came by and ate it. Okay. But it was a lesson. I was good until I couldn't see. Most of us are like that. We're good. I can sense God. But there's a problem. I can't see him. And that's where faith comes in. And this is a process that's hard for people because there's sometimes you have to go blind where you can't see. But this is necessary for you. Because especially in the process and in the season that you are in your life right now, it can be very difficult to try to discern what God is doing. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be lost in this process. But the vision is for an appointed time, and God knows how we're supposed to get there. And for each one of us, it's different. And I can tell you what it looks like for most of us. We feel like our body parts are being stretched in every different direction. We feel like we're being stretched like beyond we can even handle in our emotions, in our will, in our mind, because it's something that God is doing supernaturally in our life, and it requires faith. And that requires us getting out of ourselves and believing God. And it's necessary for survival. Because you have to trust that God is bigger and that God knows and he understands the process better than you do. But he knows you better than you do. And so we have to get to that point of where sometimes you just got to go and you have to go blind, and God asks us to do that. And that's hard. Especially, number one, when you can't even see him in the first place. And then he says, listen, I need you to go and just trust me and walk blindly. Isn't that what made the story of the Israelites crossing into the sea so amazing? Was the fact that they were being led out from a land that they had known for hundreds of years, and now God was asking them to cross the sea. And now listen, but you're not going to cross it on your own. I'm going to part it, but all I need you to do is just start walking in it. And so for you in your life, could it be that God is asking you just to take another step in the direction and that God all of a sudden will part it? That's how faith works. I'm believing that God can make a way where there seems to be no way because of who I believe in and who he is. And that's what faith is. So let faith rise up, O heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. It takes that type of faith in order to see God do supernatural things in your life. And if you want to be that type of Christian that sees supernatural things happen in your life, you're going to have some crazy faith. The type of faith that sees ravens come and feed you. Story of Elijah. You know, those things still happen. Supernaturally in different ways. How many of you have ever had God show up in your life supernaturally with stuff, food, or money when you needed it and you had no idea where it came from? Because it still happens. Because God will pop up and show you stuff and you'll look back and be like, I don't know where that came from, but it was God. You cannot try to trace God. It's impossible. If you try to, you always get stuck because there is no beginning with him. And his ways are not your ways. And so if you try to figure what he's trying to do in your life, it'll drive you crazy. And so you have to understand that God's ways are not your ways. And his thoughts are not your thoughts. And so when he does things on purpose to blow your mind. So that you can see that he is God once and for all. That there is no one like him. That what he starts, he finishes. And that what he promises, he will deliver on. But in the promise and in the process and where you are right now, he is doing something in you. You, that is necessary. Killing out that old stuff that you used to hang on for comfort. Because if you've been here any length of time, you know that God is trying to move us away from him just being some sort of God that we believe in to him being the God that we solely rely on. Yeah, that God. That Jehovah Jireh. that one that provided a cloud and a fire in the Old Testament to the Israelites as they were walking. That kind of God who said, listen, quail, go feed them. That kind of God who took them by the hand and says, we're going. That kind of God who does things that don't make sense. But he never said that it was going to make sense. All he said was that you trust me with your life and I'll cause it to work out for your good. That's what kind of God you serve. And so if you're looking for God to do something in the natural, in a natural way, sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. God's in a reality. He understands it. But God does things supernaturally. And so when you're looking at God to do something, look beyond your natural circumstances. Because God does not operate on this plane. He operates on another plane. And so you've got to get up a little bit higher and fly with him. So you've got to stick and you've got to move. And that means that you cannot stay stagnant. Listen, there's a difference between resting in God and nothing for God. Okay? You can rest in God, but the key in resting in God is to continue to move. Because you can get to a point in your life of where you can rest so much in God that you can slip into depression. You can slip into anxiety because you are not progressing and moving. Do you know that you were born to move, right? And you were born to go somewhere. And so you've got to be careful. And I'm trying to help you from personal experience. Don't let rest be your demise. Look at it in a right perspective. Rest in God because of his goodness and because he has a good plan for you and he knows he's not going to let you down. But don't stop moving. I mean, don't stay stagnant, because if you do that, the enemy then has a case to pounce on you a little bit. And you know what that looks like. Rest is good. Too much of it is a detriment. Think about the times when we've joked about this before, and I know Eric laughed about this. How many have you taken a nap when you really didn't need one and you woke up angry? I can't believe I'm angry from the nap I did not need. Well, why'd you take one? I don't know. I have no idea why. Think about it in your own life. David should have been out in the battlefield. The Bible said in the springtime where all the kings went out to war, David decided, you know what, they got it, we're good. And he went up on a rooftop and he saw a woman and he just said, she looks good. The beginning of his downfall. Because in the season when he was supposed to be out doing what kings do, he decided to take a break and rest. It wasn't his time for that. How many of you are holding back or you're resting when you should be working, fighting, loving? Because that is the key to you staying out of the enemy's camp. I'm telling you, there's a lie that is pervasive in the kingdom about God doing everything for you and you not doing anything. And that is getting people in trouble. Because they're waiting on God to do something when God said, listen, I've given you the ability to do something. So I need you to stick in me and move. Because you know as well as I do, there's an enemy out there that wants to take you out. And let's be honest, Richie. Let's be honest, Chris. Let's be honest. You know when you start to go south. And God knows. And so God's like, let's avoid the southward trajectory as much as possible, and let's move and do something with your life, with the opportunities that I've given you. The vision's coming, it's there, I'm doing something, but listen, until it happens, you've got to remain in me, because you can't do it without me, and move. Move. I don't care. You're tired, move. I woke up exhausted today. Get up. I got up, I moved. It happens. But at least you know you're doing something. Stick and move. And then in the meantime, stand tall. Know who you are in Christ. Wonder who you are. Wonder who you are think about all the good things that God has for you because of how much the enemy has decided to fight you. And listen, you don't understand, man, I'm tired. You keep standing, man. You stand tall. You get back up every day. Know where your hope comes from. Know who you are in Jesus. Receive the grace that you need for that day and keep moving. I can't see everything. It's okay. You're in a war. Sometimes it gets foggy. But in the distance, you know Jesus is there. And he's in control. Isn't that your saving grace that you know that he's in control of this thing? And that you can take comfort that there is a time when it's going to be over and you will step into what God has for you in your life. You will, because God does not lie. You will. And haven't you got to that point yet where you want to see those things actually happen in your life? And not be the person who just said, well, it was good for them and he never really received it. But God is getting you ready to do it so you can actually stand in it, because that's the key. When God brings it into your life, you still got to be able to stand in it. Because with the blessings of God come responsibility. And so we're asking God to do something great in our life, but God is asking us to allow him to build us so that you can handle that when it comes. Because there is a responsibility that's there. Told me years ago the responsibility that came along with what I'm doing now in my life, I would not have been ready for it. And I probably would have turned the other way because of fear of the unknown and what it looked like. But God spends the time getting you ready so you can handle the responsibilities of what it actually looks like, because you have to learn to fight the unseen as well as what's happening even in your own life. Do you know that's what's happening? You're fighting the unseen, but you're also fighting you. And your tendency to want to give up, your tendency to want to back up, your tendency not to want to really stand. And so in the meantime, as you're doing that, God is saying, no, you have to stand in this. And God is training you to say, no, you're not backing up from this. You're standing in this because this is what I'm using to help strengthen you and get you ready from what I actually have from you. You can't afford that stuff anymore. That was good then, but this is now. I need you strong. I need you tenacious. I need you courageous, because this thing is real, and the kingdom is suffering violent, and the violent do take it by force. So you got to get up every day. You got to take another step, another one. So I'm building you. It's late? No, it's not late. I'm waiting on you to get ready. I already have it. I've already promised it. So the repositioning is for you. Because you're not ready to handle the hardship that comes along with it. Blessings are good. I love blessings. A wife is good. I love wife. A wife. A wife. You heard me? I love a wife. There's still responsibility that comes along with it. I love what God does, but there's a responsibility and stewardship when he brings it in. So it's not a joke. It's not something to take lightly, because if you think about it, your destiny is on the line. And what God has called you into. And so that's why the fight is difficult at times. Because you are fighting something that you cannot see. But at the same time, you are fighting yourself. And at the same time, God is building you as you're fighting those things. And you don't know which way it's coming from. But at the same time, God's saying, listen, look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Because this is essential for you. So what does that look like for us? It's simple. Take another step. Someone wants an action step. For some of us, it's just, listen, I got to take another step because I can't see. And for other people, it's go home, write the vision down. What God has given you, write it down. Make it plain. So that a herald can read it. Someone can read it and take it and go with it. And the message version, I like it, says so that you can actually read it on the run. Do you know what God does in your life? Is that we're asking God to give us a vision. Lord, give me the vision now and show it to me. You know sometimes how he does it? Get to walking and all of a sudden, he throws me something and I see it. I'm walking with him. All of a sudden, I see it. Oh, that's what that is. That's what that is. And God's giving me directions on the run. Because I'm running for my life. If you could see the warfare that's taking place in your life right now, it would freak you out. Things that God is just thwarting from overtaking you in your life right now so that you can actually receive what he has because he's committed to your progress. He is committed to you. And so he gives you stuff in the midst of it. And that's exciting because he doesn't just do it one time because you need stuff right in the middle of it. And God is so sneaky. He gets stuff in there. Eyes are on him. But that's where he wants you to be. Because that's where faith is built. Because then you say, well, listen, it doesn't matter if there's nothing going on or there is something going on. God is still the same there as he is here. And God can still get to me. Some of you need to hear that. God can still get to me in the midst of the confusion and the chaos in my life. And knowing that helps faith rise up in your life to say, you know what? I can keep going. How many of you needed something? Lord, I needed something. I needed something. All of a sudden, God gave it to you right in the middle of where you're at and helped you keep going. Because the promise and the vision is big. The process, hard and difficult. But God is faithful. Look back over your life. As the band comes up, look back over your life. Remember the faithfulness of God. Remember it. Remember the times that God brought you through the hard stuff and the difficult stuff. And lean on that. He has never left you yet. Never. Never. And the enemy wants to make you think that he has, but he has never left you yet. And that gives you the faith to continue to stand and keep believing and keep moving. And you have to ask yourself, is it worth missing for this time in my life? Is it worth me missing? If I don't pass this, if I don't take another step in my life, am I really going to succumb here when I can see the blessing right there? I can see it in here. And God's squeezing it out. Squeezing it out. You know, because you feel more righteous. There's more peace in your life. And God's squeezing that stuff out of you. Because the kingdom, it's already living inside of you, man. And God's squeezing that stuff out. Stuff we can't see. You're becoming more like him in the process. And in the hardship and in the pressure. That's where the growth comes in. Man, but you got to want it. You got to want what God has for you. You got to want what he showed you. Because he showed you is far greater than what you're dealing with right now. But he shows it to you so that you won't get discouraged, even though we do. He knows the process is ahead. He knows it's there. He knows you can't do it on your own. But he gets in there with you. I want everybody to stand to their feet if they could. How many of you be honest today and say, right now I feel like I'm just being squeezed a little bit in my life. I feel like there's just some squeezing going on. Just be honest. You don't have to lie. If nothing's going on, it's okay. God, I feel like I'm just being squeezed. And I'm having to stand in stuff. I'm having to stand on who I am. I'm believing God. And I got to be honest with you. I'm tired of hoping. Because, you know, even in the waiting and the hoping, it's exhausting. But I believe that God wants to give you strength today to keep believing. Because sometimes we just need that. The Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he's serious about that. that is tiring. But in that, there's something that happens and develops in you that doesn't happen anywhere else. And all you know right now, and that God wants you to know, is this: and I just want you to love me in the process. Just love me, because I am doing something far beyond what you can even think or imagine, because that's who I am. I'm doing something right now. Just love me in it. Accept the intimacy that I want to bring between you and I. Because I want you to see that I love you unconditionally, and that I'm going to perform this process in you. But I want you to stand tall. I want you to be in the position that you're supposed to be in. But it's going to require some change. It's going to require some trust. It's going to require that you believe me for more than you've been experiencing now in your life. I don't do things half-heartedly. I don't do things halfway. I am committed to you. I am committed to your process. I am in love with you. I want to develop something in you that cannot be developed any other way. Your faith right now is on trial. But I promise you, if you trust me, you're going to pass it. I'm not going to allow you to be overtaken. I'm not going to allow you to be put in a situation that you can't handle it. But I want you to believe me that I'm greater than your circumstances. I'm greater than your sorrow. I'm greater than your discouragement. I'm greater than those things. And I'm a good God who wants to give you good things. And I love you. Yeah, the fight's hard. Yeah, it can be difficult, but not everybody can do it. But I'm trusting you. Stand up. Face it. Don't run from it. I know it's going to be difficult, but don't run from it, because in it, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to fortify you, and I'm going to build in you something that you will not understand, but I'm going to build in you something that's going to be able to handle the pressures and the difficulties and the hardships that life is going to throw at you. Because I want you to succeed. Father, you're good. Father, I pray for every person in here right now. Those that are in, it feels like a hardship or a crucible. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to stand in it and withstand it. To know that in the midst of it, it's actually good for them. It's good. Because it's producing in you something that's exciting. It's producing something in you that wouldn't be produced anywhere else. And the joy that is coming out even right now, it's far greater than the hardship, the persecution, the discouragement. Because we know, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I pray, God, that people will leave here today knowing that that's what it is. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and that I can laugh at this thing, and I can laugh at what, Lord, you're trying to do, because we know that you're doing something I always can't understand. But I can trust in it. Thank you, God, for allowing people to see progress, allowing people to see a little bit of what you're doing. I pray that they would be excited and anticipate more. Lord, that they would expect more. Not be weary of what's coming next, Lord, but ready enough in their life to handle what's coming next because of who you are, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Let's give God a praise offering in this place.